Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
Lindsay Wolfgang.
This is becoming far too regular.
Or just regular enough.
Sorry you have to be on the show with us?
I'm kidding.
She likes it here. And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. At least I hope she likes it here.
I mean, I wouldn't show up if I didn't.
That's true. She's a very independent and willful woman. Hold on here. Let me... Sorry,
I don't like the way that quick. You're no, setting
fine.
Stuff.
Everything's fine. It's nothing technical related. I was expanding my notepad window because I realized I had a scroll bar for my notes this week.
Oh.
Anyway, going to start off with Disney's streaming service will be called Disney Play, and it's going to cost less than Netflix and be a, quote, suite of services.
All right. How much is Netflix currently?
$10.99 for HD.
I swear, if it's $10.98, I'm going to lose my mind. If they do like the reverse Price is Right thing.
That would be really funny.
No, it wouldn't. That's another $11 I have to spend on something.
I mean, I'm not going to get it either way.
You say that.
I mean, I probably will.
I'm going to. I'm not even going to kid myself on it. It's like the DC Universe. Like, I wasn't going to get it. No, I knew I was going to get it. And then they gave me that sweet deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to depend on what the suite of services is, mm-hmm. what the price is going to be. And what exactly is going to be on it, because there's so much information we do not have about Disney Play, which I still concur with Lindsay that Disney Vault
mm-hmm.
would have been a way cooler name.
Yeah.
Because they could have adapted all those, like, all the movies that are in the Vault, uh-huh. as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
Could have just put that in there.
Do you think
although those films are still going to stay in the vault, I guarantee you they will not get released in the streaming service.
See, that's what I was going to ask, because if you can get it on their streaming service, why would you buy the Blu-ray when it goes on sale for 2 months?
Yeah, because that's the whole point of their vault, because it's only a small selection of films that are included in it.
Right. Which is just, it's a dumb way of doing business.
No.
I worked at a movie.
For the consumer. Yes.
It was basically their answer to what they had used to done when they would just put the new film in circulation for the next generation.
Mm.
Once it became in that home format, they just switched it to that. And then as far as the newer ones that got put in it, they had to make a certain amount of money in the box office and got added into there as well.
Huh. So I just feel like it makes them more money if they just have it available.
See, and you
instead of relying on because right now there are third-party sellers making money on their movies. Where they
illegally.
Could be making money on their movies. Not even legally. Yeah. Like, people are selling movies on eBay. Or, like, even go back to Hastings back when that was alive. I remember I wanted to buy The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
And The Incredibles Blu-ray was, I mean, it was like $40 at Hastings.
Yeah, but the Pixar stuff never is in the vault.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just don't re-release it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, if it was used, yeah, no, like, I can go buy all those movies at Best Buy right now. Well, maybe not right now, they might be closing soon, but, like, if I went to Best Buy right when they're open, I can buy all of the Pixar movies.
But my point is, like, these movies end up getting sold on, like, eBay and
Amazon
for ridiculous prices.
Because people don't want them anymore, and then they make a profit off of it, yeah.
Right. And, yeah, that's money that Disney could be making instead. It's the same argument I make with, like, Nintendo
Amiibo.
And Amiibos and stuff like that.
It's just, it makes sense with, like, their old animated movies, cause that's the ones that, like, people... When I worked at Hastings, and I remember people losing their mind, like Snow White, whenever the Diamond Collector's version mm-hmm. of that came out, people lost their mind.
Or you have losers like me. It's like, oh, there's one new bonus feature on this. I have to buy it.
I mean, I get that. And they can still do that while just releasing the regular movie, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But
it's part of their formula.
It's whatever. I mean... Who am I to say what Disney should do to make more money? They
figured it out.
They make more money every second than I will in my lifetime.
Barring just having a printing thing in, like, Magic Kingdom, they figured it out.
But anyway, we don't have much more information than that. All right, this next one I'm really excited about, so I put it on here. I know I normally don't talk about stuff that's, like, heavy rumor / grain of salt kind of stuff, but I have to for this particular one. Because I'm really excited about the prospect of it. But again, this is a rumor. Find you a grain of salt and just take it with that. Blizzard and Netflix are working on a Diablo series.
That would be cool.
I would rather just get a new Diablo game.
Well, yeah, that's still going to... That's separate
from
this.
If they can take a page from the Castlevania series that has come out, it could be pretty great.
And that's actually a lot of what this is about.
Because the Castlevania one was awesome, except that they should have just made it a movie rather than four episodes.
Right. And since they released the four episodes at mm-hmm. once, like, I guess that
it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. And with the success of the Castlevania series, that's what has Netflix looking at doing more of these video game adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if they could get Diablo in a series, yes, please. Because the Diablo lore is awesome and a lot easier to explain to people than Warcraft lore.
That's because Warcraft takes about a week plus.
And that gets you through the original trilogy. That doesn't even hit you on World of Warcraft.
But so, it's so good.
It is really good, and I love that lore. There's just so much
of it.
Diablo, way easier. Way easier. But yeah, I am all about seeing a Diablo show. But again, don't get too excited. Very much a rumor. It very likely will not happen. But it could.
See, Diablo is one of those things where it's like, if Netflix does it and they get someone who, one, is passionate about the franchise and like has a story they want to tell within it, that could be super cool. But as someone who has, I've spent the most amount of time on Diablo 3.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever even played the first one, and I've like watched friends play Diablo 2. That said, like for 3, the story was just backdrop.
Yeah.
That game is all about like gameplay and looting and
yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, now I have one piece of armor that is just a little bit stronger, so I can keep going to get more pieces of armor that are just a little bit stronger.
Or in my case, Shannon's already played it and he's like, "Okay, we come over here now." And so I don't even bother reading it. I just follow him.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's an interesting world, but like it was never a, I wonder what happens next.
The Diablo, type deal. The story in Diablo 1 was really good, and it was fun to play through. Mm-hmm. You did kind of get a glimpse of that in Diablo 3, whenever they had that anniversary event,
mm-hmm.
where they basically let you replay Diablo 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I loved that. The nostalgia that hit me with was painful.
I mean, it was a cool event. Like, I got the cow.
You did get the cow. Did they have straight up cow level in it? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, because there was no cow level.
The cow level was in Diablo 2.
Yep, that was the first cow level. And it came out of a rumor in Diablo 1 that hit the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That was talking about like do all of this craziness to get the cow level, and devs kept saying there is no cow level.
Mm-hmm.
And then they released Diablo 2 and they put a cow level in it.
That is one of my favorite, not necessarily trends, but things that developers do is they know that there's this widespread like piece of misinformation from mm-hmm. one game, so then the next game they incorporate it in. Like Ed Boon is the master of that with the Mortal Kombat series.
Yep.
And just adding in characters that shouldn't be in there, but yeah, that was like if there's an episode of the Diablo series on Netflix that's based in the Super Rainbow Land from 3, I'm in. I'll watch the whole thing just to get to that part. But otherwise, I'll just be like, "Yep, that's Diablo. Where's 4?"
I do desperately want me like some 4, Diablo please. 4, or some new Diablo. Because oh my god, I'd
replay 3 on the Switch.
I will. But that's just going to scratch the itch a little. But anyway, moving on from that, Alec Baldwin joined Todd Phillips' Joker. You'll notice past tense, 3 days later he left it. He was cast as Thomas Wayne, and then he was like, nah, never mind.
He just doesn't want to die.
He said it was scheduling conflicts.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I've read so many different versions of this story, and none of them are the same, but it sounds like he never actually joined it. Someone just preemptively announced that he had signed.
Probably because they were in talks
because,
of it.
Yeah. And then it turns out he, like, because I think he's the one that came forward and said, no, I'm not in this movie.
I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen without any pretext to it, just seeing, like, Alec Baldwin cast as Thomas Wayne in this movie. I'm like, ooh.
That could be interesting.
I can see some Alec Baldwin and some Thomas Wayne. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days later, he's not in the movie. What?
Just kidding.
What happened?
Psych.
Yeah.
Well,
This week
or last week, there was also a rumor that got some circulation that was just a lie that Oscar Isaac was replacing Ben Affleck.
Oh, as yeah, Batman. I did see that too. Ooh. Because there's been a lot of rumors about Ben Affleck just exiting entirely.
Which those have been going on since Justice League. Yep. So, but yeah, that one was confirmed false like just a couple hours later. So it didn't get a whole lot of momentum, but I did see a couple things on Twitter where people were like, whoa, this is awesome. And then, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Psych.
This is what you get, DC, when everything is such a convoluted mess right now.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting all these ridiculous rumors and everything.
Which that wasn't in the Joker movie. That was in Matt Reeves' Batman movie.
Right.
Which this one is, the Joker movie is Martin Scorsese.
Right. And unrelated to the...
Worlds of DC.
Well, unrelated to the DC extended universe inside the worlds of DC.
Oh, God.
It's one of the other worlds.
Stop it.
Mm-mm.
Stop it.
We're done.
I can't. That's what it is, Asa.
It's over now.
Asa is done. Move on.
Speaking of the DC universe, though, looks like we have a launch date for their streaming service / comic book app. It's going to come out September 15th.
It's not that far off.
No, it is not. A couple of weeks away. Looks like Titans is going to debut on the channel October 12th. We got a bunch of news out of this. Some of the highlights. Titans debuting October 12th. How are you still excited about this movie?
I don't know.
I see Dalton just bouncing here. Like, he's so happy and smiling.
It's Dalton.
Yeah, it's DC. I try to get excited.
Let him get excited about something.
You killed it right away, too. Like, it was there, and then, oh, yep, you shamed me.
Well, then I reminded you.
Yeah, too.
Because that trailer was still, like...
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But... I guarantee I won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just
I'm getting
happen.
A lot of pessimism from Jesse today.
Yeah.
That's kind of the show.
He's not looking
spoiler alert, team.
I mean, in fairness, I am extraordinarily pessimistic about everything live action DC now that isn't on the CW.
Yeah.
And even there, I'm really pessimistic about Arrow. All the time.
Hey, he did a good job last night, though. He failed the city.
Barry really messed up the timeline on this one.
There was a fallen angel. It got real weird.
Oh, my.
For, like, the 10 people that got that, you're welcome.
It's a wrestling reference for the rest of you. Apparently, Stephen Amell is a big wrestling fan.
Oh, yeah.
He had a match last night.
Yep.
In front of 10,000 people.
Yeah. And then all the people watching. Anyway... So, yeah, we have that DC universe. We've got a Stargirl TV show coming. So that was a little bit of a new announcement. They want to, I guess, kind of go with the trend from the CW, but it's not part of the CW-verse. People in like a bunch of articles that I saw about it kept referencing the Arrow and the Arrowverse, but it's very much not part of that universe. I don't get it entirely, like why they kept referencing the Arrow.
Because it's what's popular. It's like the one thing that they can really hang their hat on. So they're like, this isn't part of it, but hey, remember this?
Because actually when I first saw it, I thought that we were getting another CWDC show. And I was like, really? Another one? I mean, okay.
The CW literally has no other programming. Supernatural reruns can only play so much.
Oh, well, no,
yes,
they can. They're still making new ones, too.
Yeah, they are.
What?
Yeah, Supernatural's
still
going.
Yeah, that's just not over.
Yeah, no, it's not done yet.
I feel like we talk about this all the time, and I'm shocked every time.
I'm yeah. finally,
aren't
I'm
they
finally
like on 37
getting,
seasons?
Well, I'm finally 13. Getting to watch 13 because it got added to Netflix. But
oh, so they're on like 15.
They're
then,
about
right?
to start yeah. 14.
They're about to yeah. start 14 because CW has that deal with Netflix.
Oh, where it's one season behind. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, it's a week after the season finishes. Like the day it would have released the next episode, the entire season hits Netflix.
Yep, and it's getting ready to the Blu-rays or whatever are coming out like next week or something.
Yeah, the Blu-rays still take a few weeks to come out. Months rather.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
three
it's
episodes
a bit
in, and I'm already still angry.
Oh no! See, yeah. Like, and because anytime it comes up and I'm on, I rage quit at season 9. It kept going. I just was done.
I stopped at season 3.
That was when it was still pretty good.
Yeah,
was
okay.
I fell behind like partway through 8, and then it got up to like 12. Got put on Netflix, and I binged watched it in like 2.5 months.
We only got 2 seasons of Young Justice. This is stupid.
I mean, it's on a different network.
No, the same people who are making that new Titans is making a 3rd season, so we got more.
Yeah.
Yay!
So, just to get us back to the topic, so I genuinely don't know anything about Stargirl, so I Googled her, and I was like, oh, I think Jesse misspoke. This is clearly a Marvel character, and this is like the female version of like Captain America's sidekick. Because, dear Lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's just Lady Cap.
She was on the New 52
yeah,
Teen
but now
Titan.
You finish. Jesse didn't misspell.
No. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It's a DC character.
Yeah, it sure is.
She was in the New 52 run of Teen Titans, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think she was like the one that, I think she was the one they were like keeping quiet. Like that was her, their ace in the hole. Like if something bad happened.
How?
I mean, they really don't.
They didn't let her out.
Yeah.
They kept her in the T.
Yeah, the book got canceled before that ace was necessary.
She needs a wardrobe update.
I mean, she looks different in the promotional materials from the DC Universe, but...
Boy, I hope so.
I'm sure she's going to look a whole lot like the MCU Cap when it comes out. She just doesn't have a shield, folks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, she's very, very Captain America looking. We also got, for Doom Patrol, we got a couple of casting announcements that were kind of a big deal. Alan Tudyk will be playing the villain, also an announcement. Looks like we're getting Mr. Nobody. It's going to be the first villain for Doom Patrol. He's just a... This is going to be interesting. Like, I had no interest in this show, but I love Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Nobody's an interesting villain. He steals your sanity, Dalton.
Yeah. You have to have sanity first.
That show's going to get real boring if that's the case. That's the last 3 years of my life.
So what happens whenever he fights the Joker?
Oh, it's a stalemate.
And the Joker just stabs him because he uses actual weapons.
But yeah, and we got Brendan Fraser as Robot Man. I didn't know where to go with that bit, so I just moved on.
I'm just happy Brendan Fraser's back to doing something.
He's getting right? work.
I haven't seen him in anything since Scrubs.
I'm on it.
Why would you bring that up?
All right, Dalton doesn't know this bit.
Don't. Well, then you need to watch Scrubs because I'm not getting into it. But why would you bring that up?
Because I couldn't think of anything else. Brendan
Fraser's
been in the
song now.
Yeah, that's one of the roughest episodes of television right there.
Between him and Alan Tudyk, like this is the most interesting. Like, I'm actually sort of borderline interested in Doom Patrol now.
Yep, same.
Because up until, like, oh, they're making a Doom Patrol show. Why?
And?
I had literally the same reaction to that I had to, they're making an Inhumans TV show.
He stayed busy.
Why, though? Really?
Yeah.
Doing what?
TV shows. He was on a couple episodes of Trust, Condor.
I haven't heard of either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're good shows. He's been keeping busy for a while. He was in the Nut Job.
Well, it's nice to have him in something high profile.
Yeah, there you go. The Pawn Shop Chronicles.
So I just Googled Mr. Nobody to see what he looks like. I am confused.
Let me see.
Yeah, he's a weird looking dude.
Brendan Fraser.
So
he's also the product of a Nazi experiment.
Well, I want to see.
Well, apparently, Mr. Clippy from Microsoft Word decided.
Oh God!
That he hit a real rough patch.
Turned to villainy. He's tired of answering your work.
Like this version of him, there's a Hero Clicks that looks way more sense. That looks like it makes way more sense. Where he's just instead of just missing
parts of his face.
He's just in a black and white suit, he's got an eye there, so maybe that is all. I don't know. That's an interesting look. Let's see what Robot Man looks like, because that's who Brendan Fraser's going to play.
He's going to have the other missing parts.
These all just sound like Mega Man villains.
A little bit.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Oh, dear.
I mean, is he Mr. the missing Robot, parts? Or Robot Man sounds almost like racist in the Mega Man universe.
That's the first one. That's the first image that pops up.
How old is that?
That's old comics right there.
I'm going to, once this gets posted on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podzilla1985, I'll put links to some of these images so you know what we're talking about. But, yeah.
Yep.
So it looks like there's going to be a lot of voice acting by these two, which Alan Tudyk, great. Like,
yeah.
We established as phenomenal at that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Brendan Fraser's done some voice acting work.
He's in the Nut Job.
Honestly, like, anything that he does is going to have goodwill with me just because of how much I loved the first two Mummy movies.
He was in a couple episodes of the Fairly Odd Parents.
What about Tarzan?
No,
George of the Jungle?
I was about to say, that was also live action.
I mean, my brain still goes back to Encino Man.
I was going to throw Encino Man had I not messed up Tarzan, because he was definitely George of the Jungle.
I did love George of the Jungle as well.
Oh, those were so good.
I had that VHS. That's another one. It's like, I don't know if I should ever go back and rewatch those or just, leave the memories alone.
Yeah.
And what was the other movie that he was in?
I think he did the Dudley Do-Right one also.
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
I thought that was Brendan Fraser.
I'm looking through it right
but,
now.
But more importantly, I'm trying to remember what the name of that movie was. He did a movie about making a deal with the devil.
I know this.
My brain keeps going to Bedazzled.
That's what my brain keeps going to.
Oh, he did do Dudley Do-Right.
It's not Bedazzled, but I keep thinking Bedazzled. I'm glad I'm not the only one that has that thought.
Yeah, no, you're not.
Because it was the woman who played the devil. It was Bedazzled.
It was Bedazzled. Okay. Because I thought the movie is Bedazzled, but it can't be Bedazzled.
That word in 2018
is very
taken on a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
So, Bedazzled. I saw that movie in theaters twice because it was the only thing playing.
Why? Both nights.
Elizabeth Hurley.
I didn't want to go to whatever my little brother was doing, and my parents wanted
Fair
us out
enough.
Of the house. So whenever that happened, they gave me cash to go see a movie.
It's like, I remember watching it on, Stars or Encore or something when I was in high school.
It was a small theater. It was a two-screen theater. I don't remember what the other option was, but suffice it to say that Bedazzled was the better option of the two.
Fair enough.
Enough so that I watched it twice in theaters.
Jesus.
It was also probably with parents' fundage, though.
It was. Yeah, I did not pay.
He didn't spend his
this.
Own money to go and.
Importantly, I was, 13 at the time?
Well, that explains it. Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
I don't mean that insultingly.
No.
That
does add a little bit of a creep factor to it for 13-year-old. Oh, no, it's more explainable for 13-year-old boy. It's fine. But point is, it was a better film than whatever was playing regardless.
What's Elizabeth Hurley done recently? Oh, she's actually keeping busy too.
It doesn't matter.
So this is another thing that's not really newsworthy. I just want to say it because I never knew how bad I wanted it. It's kind of like when I talked about John C. McGinley playing J. Jonah Jameson. Just, I want that to happen.
Yeah.
This particular instance, Jeffrey Dean Morgan wants to play Lobo.
It would be the one thing to actually get me to see a Lobo movie.
Right?
Cause
or a Lobo TV show or anything involving Lobo for that
matter. Really don't like the Lobo character.
I don't know who Lobo is.
I'm on it.
Super edgelord.
He's the main man.
Super edgelord. He's an alien bounty hunter who rides around on a space Harley and smokes a cigar. And
I love him.
He's a space biker.
So
it's as strong as Superman.
It's someone's bad fanfic version of Wolverine, Ghost Rider, and Boba Fett.
A little bit, yeah.
But if this was 12 years ago, and I don't know why I've never put two and two together, but Danny Trejo would have been an amazing Lobo.
Except Danny Trejo has looked 55 for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to look like he's in his 60s
now. I mean,
he could
play Lobo now if they did any version, a live action version of the daughter who's in Titans.
Oh yeah,
in the comics now.
Yeah, I don't remember her name though.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but he
she's in the Teen Titans now. Yeah, that was he could absolutely do the voice of Lobo.
Oh yeah,
easily. But yeah,
although I always picture that as more grizzled New Yorker accent.
I also picture it that way, mostly because he keeps referring to himself as the third person, and also calls himself the main man.
Right.
It's very Jeffrey
Dean
Morgan.
But Danny Trejo could do it.
Yep.
You would need the less extra stuff. That's just a body right there.
I mean, Lobo's a big guy.
So is Danny Trejo.
Lobo is literally inhumanly large.
Yeah.
I was, meh.
Though Danny Trejo was in The Flash, and I absolutely loved his character in The Flash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see that.
He also almost made me cry in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so Splat TV has launched.
And that's all I've been watching all week.
You get it for $5.99, or if you've got Verve, you can grab that. And they've it's Nickelodeon's streaming service. They've got just random bits here and there of old school, early 90s Nickelodeon stuff.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of the animated stuff, some live action, some of their sketch comedy stuff.
Including all that?
They have one season of all that, but
yeah,
yes. And they've got some of the old, game show stuff. They've got Legends of the Hidden Temple and Nick Arcade and Guts.
Just some great stuff.
It's weird that they only have, like, they would only have one, they don't have, like, the full runs of those shows, though.
And not only do they only have one season of all that, it's not even season one.
It's season two. But to be fair, season two was really good.
I mean, I'm sure it's good, but it's just like, I don't know.
It's random. But I think it's also, it literally just launched this week. I know when I saw the article, I'm like, ooh, when, where? And then I saw the Verve stuff and I immediately pulled up on my app. I'm like, right now. It's already on there.
Time to watch some Nickelodeon.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've been watching Hey Dude all week.
Hey Dude's good stuff.
That's a name I haven't heard in a very long time.
Hey, dude.
They've got Salute Your Shorts on there, too.
That's a good show, too. Yeah. I love me some early 90s Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember Hey Dude.
How do you not remember Hey Dude?
I don't know. Well, all right, in fairness, I'm the youngest one
at
this table.
He's also like 4 years younger than
we
are.
Yeah, so. About to say, it was like, that's when I don't remember.
And Hey Dude was like, we were at the precipice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I remember it being a thing, but it wasn't, like, that's not...
It was in syndication.
Oh, no, that was one of those I watched every time it was on.
We could talk about Nickelodeon for about 45 minutes before I would finally come up with Hey Dude on my own. And that would be I'm being generous to myself.
Yeah, that's real old Nickelodeon right
now. All right, but I was like, I don't feel bad. Like,
to
is
be
this,
fair,
this is
I'm
I
the oldest
remember.
Person at this table, so.
That's true.
No.
Yeah, I thought you guys were about to young shame me like we do Steven from time to time.
No.
Like,
no.
Because Hey Dude was like 1991, 1990.
Oh, yeah, I didn't like exist that. Then. Yeah. That's not fair.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It came out the same time as Salute Your Shorts. So.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I watched, by the time I saw it was reruns and like early afternoon Nickelodeon.
Yep.
And that's the only reason I know about it. Because when it was airing like each week, I was far too young.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just remember the theme song mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a few other things about it.
Because it just sticks out.
And also, WB has, this probably should have gone, this would have gone better with the DC Universe stuff, but WB released the Batman Animated Series intro in HD.
Woohoo!
Just to give people a
tease
of what that HD Batman the Animated Series is going to look like. Did you guys watch that? I posted it in the...
No, because I'm lazy.
I have not. Is it? I'm assuming it's gorgeous.
I mean, it's real pretty. It's kind of like off-putting because I'm so used to that grainy, like, mm-hmm. you know, 90s Batman stuff.
And here's my thing with whenever they like do re-releases of this, because I remember whenever I bought the Blu-ray version of the live-action Turtle movies, the first ones, and I was so excited for them. And then I watched them. I was like, these look really bad in Blu-ray because, like, there's a reason we were able to get away with this stuff in the 90s because like we had camera tricks that like we didn't have great technology and weren't using really great stuff. You put that on Blu-ray and you like tense that up, it does not look fantastic.
See, no, I don't... Okay, so example on this, we went and saw The Dark Crystal in 4K at theaters and it looked good.
Okay.
Now, see, the problem with like Dark Crystal in 4K is that movie wasn't filmed in 4K.
No, it wasn't, but they enhanced the stuff.
Yeah,
and that's what I was that's what I was worried about when we went to see it, but no, it just pulled out more details in it. It was actually still really good, but I was worried it was going to look awful.
See, and they pulled out more details for the Turtles movies,
which did not help it.
Yeah, cuz I mean the Turtles movies were originally filmed in what could be like considered 1080. Mm-hmm. Like that resolution, like the original filming, but they of course had to dumb it down to put it on film realistically.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I could see that. Like if they managed to
re-up it again,
because like Blazing Saddles actually was really good in the Blu-ray.
Yeah, but again, this is not practical effects wise.
That's true.
That was just a movie.
There were not a whole lot of practical effects to Blazing Saddles.
Pretty in Pink would look great in Blu-ray, I bet. It's just a movie.
The Batman animated series looks good. Like, I mean, I think I might like it. It's weird. It's not necessarily off-putting. It doesn't look as gritty as it did.
Yeah.
Like there was like something visceral about it in your head when you're thinking back of how it looked because it's just kind of you're on a low resolution screen and it's just that's how it is. I actually really really like it. Especially the contrast between the light and the dark.
Yeah.
So like when the explosion happens
the
in the
fire?
Bank, the fire looked incredible.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm 100%. If the rest of the series looks like that, I'm 100% on board. Like that looks amazing.
Like I said, unsettling is not a bad word in this. It's just it doesn't have like. It's not like whenever they redid Silent Hill, and
you
got rid of the natural fog.
Right.
Yeah, it still looks real pretty.
Yeah.
And it's something like I've watched that intro so many times in standard def.
Yeah, it's the whole thing. Like when you watch something for 20 years, yeah, and then it's pretty now, prettier now.
Yeah, how much is this? It doesn't take anything away from it. Like 120.
Yeah,
I think for the box set. Mm. Yeah,
I already have it ordered.
Like I know you have, baby.
I wanted it, but I was like, it's not something you need. Yeah, I mean, it is, but
whenever they release them individually,
food is important as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the money doesn't come out until then, so I've been planning for it,
because
that's how pre-orders on Amazon work.
Homie just bought had to get spark plugs for his car, so Batman may have to wait for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out like November, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's real pretty though.
But yeah, it looks great, and I'm super excited because it makes it almost look modern, which those episodes are timeless.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like, and that was a distinct choice that they made in that. You don't know if that is happening in the 90s, in the 80s, in the future, like
in the 20s in some, or the 40s in some cases.
Right. Yeah. So like, it definitely, I like it a lot.
Yes.
Makes me more excited for it.
I'm real pumped about it. And everybody knows how we feel about the animated series in general.
Yes.
And Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and
just everything about the that series.
The Holy Trinity of DC.
Yes. All right, moving on to comic books. This portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop there for all your comic book and coffee needs. Netflix for comics style app is coming to the Switch in November. It's going to be just basically all you can read comic books, $8 a month. It's going to be called Inky Pen. And they're going to launch with a little over 10,000 comics from IDW, Dynamite, Valiant, and more. It'll also have some manga on there, graphic novels, and a bunch of other stuff. And you can view it on the Switch by itself, and it also has a separate mode for viewing on your TV.
Which is neat. It's just, I wonder how many people are going to sign up for it, not realizing that it doesn't have any DC or Marvel.
I imagine that will be a significant number of people looking for Batman and Spider-Man and getting Spawn,
Green Hornet,
right?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Which, I mean, it's super cool. I'm sure there is stuff on there that I would like, if it's depending on like how the licensing works, like if the IDW has like all of the old like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics, like that would be super cool.
Yeah, because I would really like to know how comprehensive the lists are from these publishers, because
right,
there have been some phenomenal stuff come out of like IDW and Valiant, and especially even recently.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really cool, and some of that stuff, like getting a hold of issues of stuff from those third parties that became popular, really hard to do.
Yes.
And you are going to pay a lot of money to do so.
Mm-hmm. Like try to find you a Walking Dead number one.
It's like in the thousands now, isn't it?
It went back down because the trend kind of died down a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, there for a hot minute, it was a lot of money. Even like Kick-Ass number one is really expensive. And, you know, anything else that's been made into a movie that was even semi-popular. So, yeah, or stuff that's just really good and got really popular is really expensive to find. And it's hard to even find trades of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, because they didn't really... I mean, those third-party publishers just empirically put out less than DC and Marvel, because they can, DC and the big two can afford to take the loss on, if we make a bunch of like Suicide Squad, the third arc is now its own trade, it's fine.
Yeah, like they might get sold eventually, they might not, but we could take that hit because Batman is going to sell like crazy.
Yep.
So, yeah, but yeah, no, definitely those other publishers do not have that luxury.
It's a super cool thing. I'd be really interested to check it out, but yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm definitely not paying money for it until I can see
I'd like some sort of preview list of what's in it.
I would need to see what all's on there.
Also, the Switch is an odd choice for your opening platform.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but at this point, I mean, the Switch is the hottest selling console.
Right.
And it's just continuously selling. So, I mean, it's weird that there isn't a, which, you know, PS4 has sold millions of units at this point. Like, they just hit that 500 million was lifetime sales of, like, all of their consoles. But that's the biggest install base that you would have, or even, like, mobile.
Right. Like, that's my
mobile
thing.
Or
Android and iOS.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why you didn't hit either of those first.
Especially when the Switch's whole thing is, like, we're not going super hard on
Non-game stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually the first not game international app to be released on the Switch.
Isn't Hulu on there?
Nope.
Not yet.
Oh.
It's supposed to be soon.
I was like wanting to watch YouTube the other day, and I was going to put it up on my Switch, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, YouTube, Netflix, and Hulu, none of those are on.
I know there were no plans for Netflix yet.
Yeah.
like they said that they weren't looking at it. I thought there was one that had come out, but
it was funny because my Wii was exclusively a Netflix machine after a couple years.
The Wii originally had to do Netflix, you had to actually buy a Netflix DVD.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could buy it from Netflix themselves. Say you wanted to watch Netflix on your Wii, they would send you a disc to do so. It was interesting.
I probably still have that disc somewhere.
Possibly. All right, so that's going to be a kind of cool thing. Keep a lookout for that in November. Next bit, Dan Jurgens, the writer of Green Lanterns, wants a Guy Gardner solo series. Just want to say on behalf of Podzilla 1985, no.
No, thank you.
That is unnecessary. You do not need to release that.
I know how the only way it'd be okay is if the first issue he dies and Kyle Rayner comes in. Then in that case, make your series. Make it as long as you want.
You don't need to kill him, but...
But kill him.
There's... Yeah, I don't... Guy Gardner is not a... And granted, he's got a lot of, like, baggage. Like, and it's he's just a tends to be a real annoying character in general.
Yeah.
It could be interesting, but it would have to be, like, a solid two arcs in... And get nothing but just glowing praise for me to pick that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will have number one of it, though, if they do it.
More than likely.
But honestly, like Guy Gardner, if you ask any Green Lantern fan to list their favorite lanterns...
They always get their number one wrong.
The first several are usually really mixed.
Yeah.
Because you see a whole lot of Jon Stewart... You see a whole lot of Hal Jordan. There's a smidge of Kyle Rayner.
Which those are the ones that are right.
And then, yeah, you might even see some like Simon Baz or Jessica Cruz. Mm-hmm. The one name you never see in number one is Guy Gardner.
Well, it's because somebody has to be last.
And if you do see that, like that is someone, like contact your nearest like police officer, someone of an authority, get a parent or teacher.
That person has issues.
Move away.
I think legally you have to call the arrest.
No sudden movements.
However, on all those lists, you will almost across the board see Guy Gardner at the last of that list. Some people might even put like offsets off along on there before Guy Gardner.
Badge.
Like, Kilowog.
Yeah. Which to be fair, like it's not really the character's fault because he's been essentially turned into a joke. Like, this whole bit we're doing right now has basically been every writing room for 25 years?
Yeah, ever since Rayner came in.
Like, there's even was it in Young Justice? Where they're doing there is a third Green Lantern? No. But we could really, no. And it's Hal and John are just both, like, simultaneously, like, not at all. What they did with him in Injustice, the comic... was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was a whole, you know, that's an Elseworlds thing.
Did they make
him
a Red Lantern?
I think so.
Okay, because that's the only... Guy Gardner's been made a Red Lantern in another series before.
He was that in the New 52.
That's the only time he's interesting.
And
was he that in New 52?
He was Red Lantern in New 52 eventually.
New 52 started with just a new guy for a Red Lantern. Like the Red Lantern book.
Oh, yeah.
But no, he eventually became a Red Lantern.
I didn't know if he became a Red Lantern in New 52 or not. I know pre-New 52 he had been a Red Lantern.
I think they ended up doing that. I'm not 100%.
Because I want to say he became a Red Lantern in Darkest Night, like that event.
That might have been it.
He became a Red Lantern.
I know I think he's been a Red Lantern at a couple different points, including in Injustice.
And honestly, he is way more interesting a character as a Red Lantern following around Atrocitus.
Right, because he makes way more sense as a Red Lantern.
Yep.
Because he's got serious severe anger issues.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I just... Boy, I don't like Guy Gardner.
Like, okay.
Nobody does.
Oh, it can't be a Guy Gardner solo book. Like, you can have his name be the only one on there, but it's Guy Gardner, Saint Walker.
That would be cool. Because Saint Walker is a cool character.
That's a book I would read. Yeah. Eventually. Like, I would buy the first, like, three issues, realize I'm never going to get to this, and then...
Eventually, you might go back to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's happening. All right, Trevor, listen up. and hi, Amanda, if you're walking by. Boom has announced the Firefly Big Damn Hero Box. Looks like it's releasing sometime in November. We still don't have an official release date on it or an exact release date on it, which is weird because it's coming out in November. I also don't have a price point for this, but you're going to want it, Trevor, because
it's going to be a lot, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot because the box will come with 9 comic books. 9 versions of issue number 1. One of those being an exclusive variant to that box, like as in no other way to get it. And the box, I imagine, is going to look kind of cool, be very Firefly related. You'll also get a Legacy Edition Book 1 for Firefly. And you will get a Dylan Todd print with a chance of that being signed by Joss Whedon. Now, I know if this is far too expensive, even Trevor won't buy it. But I'm sure there's someone listening out there that's like, yes. Yes, this is cool.
I need this in my life.
I mean, it is a cool, like...
So, that's 9 variant comics. So, 9 times 4... You're looking at 54. Wait a minute, 45.
That's
36. I'm tired.
Yay, math.
I was thinking the 4 in the number. Screw you, Jesse Kimball.
Also, I would be willing to bet that those number ones are going to come out at 5.
All right, almost so certainly. 5 times 9, that's a lot easier. That's 45.
There you go. That's that number you said a minute ago.
That's I was actually in the future. Future Dalton knew he was going to say that. Past Dalton says you're mean. But, yeah, no, so you're looking at the exclusive.
President Future Dalton.
Shut up. It'd probably be like 120.
You start pulling, if you start injecting time travel into your just whole shtick, I will not be your friend anymore. And spoiler alert, if they have to make the choice between who stays on the show, bye, Dalton. Just chomp away.
You bailed on me on Tuesday. Like,
I am chasing a dream. Be happy for me.
I am very happy for you.
But I don't see this going for less than 100 anywhere.
I also don't see that.
I'd see 120, depending on what the box is made out of. Like, yeah. if it's a nice quality box, mm-hmm. 120.
I could easily see that. I imagine, like, my guess right here, though, $89.99. That's just what I see it at.
Yeah.
Trevor, how much will you pay? Tell me on the next Nerds for Hire.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can find out tonight because I'll see him.
That's true.
Well, I guess I could spoil this episode for him. But anyway, yeah, it should be kind of cool. I wish I had more information on it, especially since it's coming out in November. I looked in a lot of places for more information. I got to see all the variant covers, and they are real pretty.
Well, if there's 9 of them, I'd like to think at least 5 of them are.
That's a good ratio.
Is Tim Sale doing any of them?
No.
You don't say that name at this table.
Yeah.
Oh, we have before.
All right. Next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their podcasts and their social media links at ps2jshow.com. I highly recommend checking out their History of Gaming episodes. They do a new one on the last Wednesday of every month.
They made me care about Yakuza. A series I didn't even know about before that show.
Huh.
How is that even possible? No.
It's me.
That's why
I was like, no, not worth it. All right. Battlefield 5, or V, whatever you want to call it.
It's 5.
But for whatever reason, Roman numeral, out of
v.
nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got Grand Theft Auto V? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all know that pain. Everybody at this table knows that pain.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been delayed to November following reports of a lack of pre-orders.
I mean, yeah, like it's going up. It would be going up against Black Ops 4 and Red Dead Redemption 2, yep. Which as soon as Red Dead announced its release window and like release date.
I know so many people that I will not see for like a month.
Well, that but other games have just been they have been abandoning ship. Trying to get out of October,
yep.
Because they know better than to try to compete against Red Dead.
Preferably trying to get there before. They know better than to compete against Rockstar.
Right. And then Black Ops announced that they were coming out a month early compared to like their normal, because they usually release
they're coming
the
out in October. They normally release in November.
Yeah. Which I think, they were all leaving November because that's when Red Dead releases.
I thought Red Dead was coming out October 12th.
Maybe. I'm not. Either way, like a lot of people are trying to avoid that specific spot.
Yeah.
And Battlefield 5 was originally going to be in that window as well.
Yeah, because I thought that Black Ops, the move to October for Black Ops was because historically, mm-hmm. Battlefield releases in October and people get a whole month of messing with Battlefield and being tempted by Battlefield and then not getting Call of Duty. So they wanted to kind of release at the same time to actually compete with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then, now Battlefield is pushed because, right now they're currently competing with Red Dead and Black Ops 4 and losing.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Call of Duty tend to just blow Battlefield out of the water?
Almost every
sales
time.
Sales numbers, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. But so, even if they have that early window. But yeah, so now
well,
they're...
actually, over the last couple of years, it may not be the case. Like, World War II, I don't think did as well as Battlefield 1.
Yeah, but this is kind of like, this is the golden child of Call of Duty.
Because this is Treyarch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you're messing with the man on this one. That's their Lobo.
Yeah, because Treyarch was the first one to do zombies, and they were the only one to have zombies for a while. Mm-hmm. They didn't start introducing those into the other Call of Duty games until much later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, they've got to contend with a Treyarch game that Asa and I have, we did a review show on that because we got to play in that beta. Holy crap, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. Like, and I know you may not be, so this might be a thing that me and Shannon have to do, but I'm genuinely interested in trying their Battle Royale mode because that's going to be in this next beta in September.
Yeah.
That comes out. Give it a shot.
You guys go right on ahead. Like, I might jump in there once or twice with you, but
it could be interesting. Yeah, oh yeah, and if it turns out to be just, like, not fun, like, we did not enjoy war at all.
Right.
That's fine, we don't have to go back to it. There's plenty of other stuff to do. And I have to assume it's going to be the same thing in the beta, like, it's not only going to be for...
Yeah, hopefully they have the Deathmatch playlist back, and maybe with some variety on that.
Maybe they can just let us pick...
Deathmatch?
Just Deathmatch instead of just randomly throwing in Kill Confirmed in there.
Because, boy, Kill Confirmed is not fun.
It's fun when everyone knows they're playing Kill Confirmed, but when you just jump into the Deathmatch playlist...
Guys, I have 65 kills. Why did we lose?
Right. Oh, because you picked up zero tags.
Yep, that's a thing. Anyway, so yeah, Battlefield 5 delayed. A lot of people are talking about how that opening trailer... A lot of people are still upset with the British woman in the opening trailer. Or the announcement
trailer.
Yeah,
that's super stupid. Like, I'm sorry that the game that you can jump out of an airplane, do a 360 sniper headshot, no scope, then land back in that same plane and continue to fly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry your historical accuracy has been hurt.
Because there's a British woman in the military with a prosthetic arm.
Which the prosthetic is historically accurate.
So, yeah, people are just really upset about that whole
thing. I'm sorry it's not another white male. Like, I get it. It's a very underrepresented group. You know, we don't really have anywhere. I don't have anywhere in video games or science fiction to look and see a straight white male. And it's very upsetting. I understand. But, I mean, really, you just got to move on. You got to take it on the chin. We'll make it through.
I'm so tired of straight white men being saved by women. And this trailer just continues that trend. Wait.
Oh, I'm there. It took me a second. I'm with it now. We're doing a bit. Okay.
So Anthem got a new trailer. I didn't like that bit very much. It was very uncomfortable because there are too many people that actually think that way.
Yeah, and if you're one of those, bye.
Just hit pause. Never don't come back to us.
So Anthem got a new trailer. This is another game that I am super pumped for. Coming out in February. And hopefully it'll be, you know, Destiny, but good. A few of the big things that we got out of this, the trailer looked really cool. The trailer talked about a lot of stuff that I didn't even know were in Destiny.
Anthem.
Oh my God, Anthem. some of the stuff like how you can actually build relationships with your pit crew for Anthem. You can, and that's not like, that's NPCs. Mm-hmm. That's not people you're playing with. There's a lot of stuff you can do and a lot of story and lore you can explore just inside Fort Karsus, which is kind of like your main base area. Where you've got your shops and all your other NPCs and stuff like that. There's a lot of story progression there, including a true BioWare decision and consequence system, like they've had in past games where, like, things you do and choices you make have real impacts on the rest of the game for you, which I love that about BioWare so much.
You saying that reminded me of a headline I, like, just saw about... They're doing that, but apparently the dialogue trees are pretty much limited to two options.
That's a bummer.
So let me try to see if I can find that.
That would be a bummer. I mean, you're still making choices at the end of the day, I guess.
But. Right, and that's still cool. Like, I like any time. I like actually feeling like it's going to be...
impactful.
Yeah, what I do actually makes a difference. It's not just...
Yep. And, yeah, like, even, like I said, coming down to... interacting with your pit crew to improve how that whole system works. They also announced that there will be character creation in it, so you can customize your character a lot more than people speculated originally, since you're just going to kind of be in the robot most of the time anyway.
Okay, so from PC Gamer, Foregoing the complex conversation wheel of previous BioWare games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age, Anthem will only allow for two dialogue choices in conversations. The two choices aren't aligned with a morality system of any kind, but do differ in tone slightly. So, it doesn't look like you're going to be playing as like a, you know, the Shining Beacon and then just the total D-bag.
Which is kind of nice, because that was... Even on those old BioWare games, a lot of the conversations that you had
were so jarring.
Yeah, well, either the conversation, your conversation option didn't really mean anything, or it was extremely clear which one was the bad guy and which one was the good guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Renegade or Paragon for Mass Effect, that kind of stuff.
Whereas something like a Telltale game, where
this person will remember this.
Yeah, well, and everything is kind of everything seems kind of innocuous. Until you select, like, the one that seems like it's, like, okay, this seems fairly neutral. And then the way they say it is, like, that happened to me in the Batman one.
Yeah.
Like, it was something like, I thought I was just kind of, like, lightly defending Batman. And then he ends up, like, yelling at someone. And I'm like, that's not what I... No, nope, I'm not trying to be a D-bag. I'm trying to make this character like me. And that just failed.
Yep.
Oops.
So, yeah, we're going to get to see a little bit about that. Also, biggest announcement that I was a real fan of... all of the post-launch story content will be free.
Oh.
Good.
Yay.
They did specify story content, which leads me to believe that we're going to have some multiplayer stuff later that will likely cost money.
That's fine.
But the store is, like, cosmetic stuff, too.
That, too. Like, there will be something at some point that's going to come out after launch that will cost money. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have specified story content.
And which is fair. Like, I mean, we may be missing out on, like, a new game mode, like a multiplayer type game mode.
I would say that at most we're missing out on a multiplayer game mode, but more likely Ace is correct in that there will be like other, I forget what they call them, exosuits or whatever you want to call them in Anthem.
Robots.
Javelins.
Like, javelins, that's it. Yeah, they might release new javelins, that kind of stuff later on that you actually have to pay money for, and that kind of stuff, which that's fine. But if it's story related content, yeah.
I'm less okay with the actual style of javelin being behind a paywall. Like, I get it, and it's not as terrible, but I'm curious if they're going to end up doing, like, post-game stuff, because look at the biggest game going right now is Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they're going to sell, like, seasonal challenges, like what Fortnite does, which, granted, Fortnite is a free-to-play game, and we would have spent $60 on Anthem, but, like... That's how you can also earn different rewards, is it's not part of the story. They're totally optional. But, oh, look at this new color palette, or look at this new version of a javelin that you can get by going out and doing these missions for a limited, like, for a season.
Mm.
But to get into the season, you have to drop $10-$15.
I mean, that would be neat.
Because, like, I feel
I would like a version of that could be neat, but I don't know.
Less so on a $60 game.
Right.
But we're already kind of seeing... People are like, PUBG implemented the exact same thing, but PUBG's not free.
Nope.
It didn't go well, I don't think. Like, their fan base got real upset at that. But, I mean, Fortnite has taken over the video game world, and if they're not just straight up doing a Battle Royale-style mode or game, look at all this money Epic's raking in.
Yeah, I need games to stop trying to copy that formula.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I understand that it's really popular in Fortnite because it's free. I just, whatever. Anyway, also the first demo for Anthem will be available on February 1st, so you get to play it 3 weeks early if you pre-ordered it, or if you are part of EA Access, the EA subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just a note out there for people that want to try that out. February 1st there. The game itself will be out February 22nd. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about that game. I hope that it's not awful.
It's one of those please be good.
Because I know EA has a whole lot of this, but surely at this point they have learned. I know I've said that before and I've been wrong, but Battlefront 2 turned out great after a massive poop storm.
Mm-hmm. That they entirely deserved.
Absolutely. But it turned out great.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefront 2 as it stands right now, solid game that I recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Launch day, less so.
Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all.
Not even a little bit. All right, so Diablo 3 looks like it's going to have amiibo support. We don't know if they're actually going to release amiibos for Diablo 3, or if it's just going to be like some kind of cross game thing where you can get like
extra other stuff from them.
Yeah, some person was talking about how cool it would be if you could run around as Waluigi.
No,
Diablo.
that's why he's not in Smash. He got lost.
Because like my style savvy games are that way. Certain amiibos will unlock fashion items that right. are reminiscent of those characters.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking like is going to happen in Diablo. Like if you hit Link, you'll get a shield and Master Sword, like a Hylian mm-hmm. shield Master Sword.
No, they're just going to give you his hat and elf ears.
I mean, they could do
also possible
because isn't Ganon like Ganon has armor in the game though, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ganon is actually going to be a
playable character.
Well, ish, like it's a barbarian, I think, and mm-hmm. you can make your barbarian look like Ganondorf.
But so I wonder, like they could, so like with Waluigi, you scan the Waluigi amiibo, and it doesn't turn you into Waluigi, but it does fill your bag with 12 purple and yellow dyes.
So that you can dye your
so then you could dye your outfits and do that color scheme.
Yeah,
like I wonder they could do something like that.
I would be cool with something like that. Like that would be kind of giving you the dye.
I don't know if that's enough for other people, but I also don't have any. I have one amiibo, and it's the Mario Anniversary 8-bit one.
Oh, because
I bought that when I bought Mario Maker, but that's the only amiibo that I have.
I have many more than that.
Yes.
So many more than that.
How many more would you say?
I don't know. It's a lot. Spider-Man PS4 got another trailer for Relationships, which looked kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Showed off a lot of the characters that we hadn't seen before and fleshed out a little bit more. Talked a lot about just that old superhero conundrum where, like, are these villains here in response to Spider-Man or...
Is Spider-Man, like, a magnet for... Spider-Man is just the escalation.
Yep.
He's the escalation.
Yeah, it's the Vision complex in Age of Ultron, isn't it?
The what?
Where like Vision's the one talking about like they're here because we're here.
It's
a common one, but that's the one that my brain always goes to is that movie.
It's kind of the that is not a new thing in superheroes at all. Like because it's even in Batman Begins or The Dark Knight where he's like we have semi-automatics, they get automatics. We get Kevlar, they get armor-piercing rounds. We have you. What comes next?
Also, I realize that I'm thinking Civil War. That just popped in my head. It's like the reason Vision like is keeping Scarlet Witch there, and why, yeah, he sides with Iron Man and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just one of the things they talk about. They also show off a lot more of like we get to see Shocker for the first time. Because I don't think that we had seen him in any other trailer before that, right?
Wasn't he in the,
I think we have seen him before.
We've seen Electro before, for sure.
I think we've seen just a real brief glimpse from that same scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most we've seen of Shocker, and it's still not a lot.
No.
But I don't care. I'm 5 days away.
Yep, so I we got off, some, we got I am some off Shocker work. Action.
Man.
I wish I was.
It's so not too late. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
It is, though.
Achoo!
I literally have to be there.
Yeah, but not all day.
That's true. I could leave early. We got a little bit of the Shocker. We got some Electro action, Vulture, Rhino. We got to see Kingpin. I think that was the first time we'd seen Kingpin. Because
he was coming out, like... Because I think that's how the game starts.
Looks like he was arrested.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the first thing that happens. That's super early in the game.
And we also got to hear a little bit more about the role that Silver Sable is going to play in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like she's got a privatized army there to kind of help, presumably recruited by Norman Osborn, who is the mayor in mm-hmm. this game.
That just so sounds like a mistake.
It's not going to end well for anybody. And no,
it's a good
excited.
Idea. Why is this a bad idea?
I think we also saw Aunt May for the first time, too.
We definitely saw Aunt May. I didn't think it was for the first time.
I don't
time.
Know if it's for the first time or not, yeah, but...
I'm not going to talk about Puddlegate. It's stupid.
Puddlegate is stupid because that's just the meme that's come out of the actual concern, but places like Kotaku and other like and everywhere else is like, oh no, they're complaining about the size of the puddle. They're not, though. Like, there might be a handful of people that are actually upset about that, but that's just the joke that's come out of it. The thing people are complaining about is like, okay, this is what this scene looked like at the E3 trailer. This is what the actual gameplay looks like, and it looks significantly different.
Yeah, basically the lighting is different.
And that's what and Insomniac said that the screenshots come from different times of day, so the sun is in a different position, which changes the way that everything is lit.
Yep.
Which is a completely valid and like when I first saw the image, I was kind of concerned. I was like, oh no, that's Because that looks way different.
Yeah, because I actually, I checked the comments on it when I first saw that post, too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that checks out with the sun moving, because you can actually tell when you look outside, like some of the smaller details, mm-hmm. you cannot see out the window in the first picture, like the one from E3. Mm-hmm. It's completely just like there's just sunlight.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like
it's
you're
overexposed
looking into the sun.
Picture. Mm-hmm. But then in the other picture, you can actually see the building and windows out beyond that window and some other stuff. But yeah, no, it looks a little bit more washed out. Like it's not reflective.
Right.
And it makes sense that, yeah, now the sun is in a different spot.
And there was even like, and probably it might have even been in that same thread of like people on Reddit who do like visual design are like, no, like, or digital design, like, yeah, no, if you change the source of lighting, everything in that room is going to look different.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they did remove some of the water from the room.
Right. Which again, for whatever reason, that's the thing, that's the huge takeaway that a lot of news places are like, people are upset about the puddle size. No, I mean, like, that's turned into the joke and the meme of it, but that the majority of people are concerned because what we saw at E3 versus what we saw in the game looks very different, which is not a new thing by any stretch.
No. Not even a little
except
bit.
For God of War. God of War
yeah,
looked
that was
prettier when it released than it did than what we saw at E3.
Yeah, there's some other examples
thank
of
you,
that happening.
Corey.
There's some other examples of that happening like throughout the history of games, but mm-hmm. it's not that important. The gameplay is what I'm after.
Yeah.
And it and I mean it's gonna look pretty regardless.
I just want to swing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna go ahead and rush through a little bit of the last of this stuff. Streets of Rage 4 got a reveal trailer. It's being made by Dotemu, the same guys that are doing the Windjammer sequel.
It looks pretty cool.
It looked really cool. Like a lot of just real pretty hand-drawn 2D brawling action. And I am down buying that game when it comes out. then we got Cyberpunk 2077. I know we should have spent way more time on this. 48 minutes of gameplay is out there so you guys can look at the game and see how pretty and awesome it looks.
Did you read the statement behind why they released it?
No.
So it's super cool. That is not what the final game is going to look like at all. That is what they showed the behind closed doors to the press at E3. Mm. And so many people wanted to see it that they're like, and they, it's this huge thing. Like if you go to their website, I think, or maybe their Twitter, they go onto it because CD Projekt Red is the best company. Cause they're like, okay, we understand that a lot of people want to see it, but you need to know that design change, like the assets aren't finished. This is not what the final game is going to look like. This is just a glimpse of what we're going for. And I just think that's super cool that one, they have that level of communication with their fan base.
Yes.
Because they absolutely just could have not shown any of this.
Yes. Yeah, no, I am all about
this
it.
Game. I want it.
Real happy about it. All right. So Towerfall coming to Switch on September 27th. So just another fun like arcade game to sit around and play with your friends.
That game's a lot of fun.
It is
That's a tremendous amount of fun. Couch competitive.
Yup. See, Onimusha Warlords Remaster got an announcement trailer. Yep.
I hope it's more than just a graphical upgrade. Because those first two Onimusha games did not handle great, but they're so cool.
Yeah, because my understanding is that it's a remaster. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's coming out January 15th.
Everyone needs to buy it, even if it's not good, because then we might get a new one.
Possibly. And it actually looks like it's launching at $20 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Okay, so it's definitely not going to include any improved controls, which is a bummer. Yeah. But if it's only $20, everyone buy it. I'm telling you.
I mean, 20 right. bucks for a game isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the last bit of news, Smash Bros. Ultimate is getting a collector's edition. It looks like it's going to be $139.99. Comes with a real pretty steelbook for Smash Bros. And you get a pro controller that is kind of meh looking. It's a Smash Bros. Edition pro controller.
Mm-hmm.
It's got white handles and the Smash logo on the front of it.
It looks fine. The UK one, the special edition is so much better. Because that one, you get the GameCube adapter and a Smash GameCube controller. Which, this, you're basically just buying the game and a pro controller, and then you get the steelbook.
Yep. Because it's the same price as buying a game and a pro controller.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.